Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is Monday. It's July the 3rd. It's day 183 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter, and we are doing what we do every day. We're spending a little time in God's Word. We're letting God's Word spend a little time on us, and oh, how we need that. No doubt about that. Even on this day, a new week. In fact, we are turning the corner here on the second half of this year. That's right, we have reached the halfway mark on our journey through the Bible here in 2017. And today we turn that page as we look into the book of Isaiah once again, chapters 6 and 7, 2 Chronicles 26 and 27, and Philemon chapter 1. We are reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah's cleansing and call. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with the burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Yes, go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people, plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing." Then I said, "Lord, how long will this go on?" And he replied, "Until their towns are empty, their houses are deserted, and the whole country is a wasteland. Until the Lord has sent everyone away, and the entire land of Israel lies deserted. If even a tenth, a remnant, survive, it will be invaded again and burned. But as a terebinth or oak tree leaves a stump where it is cut down, so Israel's stump will be a holy seed." Isaiah chapter 7. A message for Ahaz. When Ahaz, son of Jotham and grandson of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Syria and Pekah, son of Ramaliah, the king of Israel, set out to attack Jerusalem. However, they were unable to carry out their plan. The news had come to the royal court of Judah, "Syria is allied with Israel against us." So the hearts of the king and his people trembled with fear, like trees shaking in a storm. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, "Take your son, Sha'ir Jashub, and go out to meet King Ahaz. You will find him at the end of the aqueduct that feeds water into the upper pool near the road leading to the field where cloth is washed. Tell him to stop worrying. Tell him he doesn't need to fear the fierce anger of those burned out embers, King Rezin of Syria and Pekah son of Ramaliah. Yes, the kings of Syria and Israel are plotting against him, saying, 'We will attack Judah and capture it for ourselves. Then we will install the son of Tabeel as Judah's king.' But this is what the Sovereign Lord says: this invasion will never happen. It will never take place. For Syria is no stronger than its capital Damascus, and Damascus is no stronger than its king Rezin. As for Israel, within 65 years, it will be crushed and completely destroyed. Israel is no stronger than its capital Samaria, and Samaria is no stronger than its king Pekah, son of Ramaliah. Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm." Later, the Lord sent this message to King Ahaz: Ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation, Ahaz. Make it as difficult as you want, as high as heaven or as deep as the place of the dead. But the king refused. No, he said, I will not test the Lord like that. Then Isaiah said, Listen well, you royal family of David. Isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of my God as well? All right, then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. By the time this child is old enough to choose what is right and reject what is wrong, he will be eating yogurt and honey. For before the child is that old, the lands of the two kings you fear so much will both be deserted. Then the Lord will bring these things on you, your nation, and your family, unlike anything since Israel broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria upon you. In that day the Lord will whistle for the army of southern Egypt and for the army of Assyria. They will swarm around you like flies and bees. They will come in vast hordes and settle in the fertile areas and also in the desolate valleys, caves, and thorny places. In that day, the Lord will hire a razor from beyond the Euphrates River, the king of Assyria, and use it to shave off everything, your land, your crops, and your people. In that day, a farmer will be fortunate to have a cow and two sheep or a goat left. Nevertheless, there will be enough milk for everyone because so few people will be left in the land. They will eat their fill of yogurt and honey. In that day, the lush vineyards, now worth 1,000 pieces of silver, will become patches of briars and thorns. The entire land will become a vast expanse of briars and thorns, a hunting ground overrun by wildlife. No one will go to the fertile hillsides where the gardens once grew, for briars and thorns will cover them. Cattle, sheep, and goats will graze there. 2 Chronicles 26. Uzziah rules in Judah. All the people of Judah had crowned Amaziah's 16-year-old son Uzziah as king in place of his father. After his father's death, Uzziah rebuilt the town of Elath and restored it to Judah. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 42 years. His mother was Jechaliah from Jerusalem. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. Uzziah declared war on the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath and Jabneh and Ashdod. Then he built new towns in the Ashdod area and in other parts of Philistia. God helped him in his wars against the Philistines, his battles with the Arabs of Gur, and his wars with the Moonites. The Moonites paid annual tribute to him, and his fame spread even to Egypt, for he had become very powerful. Uzziah built fortified towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle of the wall. He also constructed forts in the wilderness and dug many water cisterns because he kept great herds of livestock in the foothills of Judah and on the plains. He was also a man who loved the soil. He had many workers who cared for his farms and vineyards, both on the hillsides and in the fertile valleys. Uzziah had an army of well-trained warriors ready to march into battle, unit by unit. This army had been mustered and organized by Jael, the secretary of the army, and his assistant, Maaseiah. They were under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officials. These regiments of mighty warriors were commanded by 2,600 clan leaders. The army consisted of 307,500 men, all elite troops. They were prepared to assist the king against any enemy. Uzziah provided the entire army with shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows and sling stones, and he built structures on the walls of Jerusalem, designed by experts to protect those who shot arrows and hurled large stones from the towers and the corners of the wall. His fame spread far and wide, for the Lord gave him marvelous help, and he became very powerful. But when he had become powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall. He sinned against the Lord his God by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the incense altar. Azariah the high priest went in after him with 80 other priests of the Lord, all brave men. They confronted King Uzziah and said, It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is the work of the priest alone. The descendants of Aaron, who are set apart for this work, get out of the sanctuary, for you have sinned. The Lord God will not honor you for this. Uzziah, who was holding an incense burner, became furious. But as he was standing there raging at the priest before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy suddenly broke out on his forehead. When Azariah the high priest and all the other priests saw the leprosy, they rushed him out, and the king himself was eager to get out because the Lord had struck him. So King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in isolation in a separate house, for he was excluded from the temple of the Lord. His son Jotham was put in charge of the royal palace, and he governed the people of the land. The rest of the events of Uzziah's reign, from beginning to end, are recorded by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. When Uzziah died, he was buried with his ancestors. His grave was in the nearby burial field, belonging to the kings. The people said, "He had leprosy," and his son Jotham became the next king. 2 Chronicles 27. Jotham rules in Judah. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. Jotham did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. He did everything his father Uzziah had done, except that Jotham did not sin by entering the temple of the Lord. But the people continued in their corrupt ways. Jotham rebuilt the upper gate of the temple of the Lord. He also did extensive rebuilding on the wall at the hill of Ophel. He built towns in the hill country of Judah and constructed fortresses and towers in the wooded area. Jotham went to war against the Ammonites and conquered them. Over the next 3 years, he received from them an annual tribute of 7,500 pounds of silver, 50,000 bushels of wheat, and 50,000 bushels of barley. King Jotham became powerful because he was careful to live in obedience to the Lord his God. The rest of the events of Jotham's reign, including all his wars and other activities, are recorded in the book of the kings of Israel of Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. When Jotham died, he was buried in the city of David, and his son Ahaz became the next king. Philemon chapter 1. Greetings from Paul. This letter is from Paul, a prisoner, for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I am writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to our sister Apphia, and to our fellow soldier Archippus, and to the church that meets in your house. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. That is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you. Consider this a request from me, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child Onesimus. I became his father in faith while I was here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I am sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. I wanted to keep him here with me while I am in these chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf, but I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you are willing, not because you are forced. It seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, and I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Yes, my brother, please. Do me this favor for the Lord's sake. Give me this encouragement in Christ. I am confident as I write this letter to you that you will do what I ask for and even more. One more thing. Please prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that God will answer your prayers and let me return to you soon. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. So do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my co-workers. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. The only way this world's going to be made right is if somebody puts aside their rights and instead offers love. Lay down your rights to do what is right to make this world right. That's the request that Paul makes of Philemon. You see, Onesimus was his slave. Onesimus had run away from Philemon. And somehow in God's providence, both men had been led to the Lord by Paul. Now they are new people. New people that God has begun a new work in, a work of transformation in both of their lives. And Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon, who legally still owns him. This is a teaching moment for these two men. In this moment, Paul is challenging both of them to discover the depths of the gospel, the radical extent with which the gospel transforms individuals and societies. Paul's reminding Philemon that the only way that the world's going to be made right is if people put aside their rights and offer love instead. Paul is saying, Philemon, you may own this man according to the Roman law, but Jesus has shown you a better way. He has made you free, Philemon, by giving up his rights and becoming a slave so that you might be made right and set free by God. Paul describes this in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 7. He says that Jesus gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born a human being. He gave up his rights to do what's right, so that this world might be made right. He did this so that you could be free, Philemon. This is the only way that this broken world and its broken people are going to be made right. This is not only a call being placed on Philemon's life, it's also being asked of you and of me. We are called to follow Jesus' example and lay down our lives on behalf of others. There is no greater demonstration of love than to lay down one's life for a brother. Jesus has done this for us. He's done this for Philemon. He's done this for you, for me. And our joy now, our privilege, is to follow his example. And when we do that, not only is this world made right, but our souls are made right too. And the prayer of my own heart today is that I will follow his example, that I will see what he has done for me, how he has laid down his life, that I might be free, and that it is my privilege to follow him and do the same. That's a prayer that I have for my family too, for my wife, my daughters, my son, because I realize that it's only as we lay down our life that we truly find it. And I want nothing less than life, not only for me, but for those that I love. And I want it for you. May it be so. Well, DailyRadioBible.com, that's our home base out here in the interwebs, and it is always such a privilege to hear from you, to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you happen to stumble upon this podcast. Who's to blame for you being here? That's what I want to know. So next time you got a moment, take it and let a brother know. Hey, a couple of things before I let you go. One is this: will you share the app? Will you pass it on? Will you let another person know that there is a community out here that is seeking God through His Word each day together? There are a lot of folks out there that are hungry for the Word of God, and they just need a little encouragement each day. And that's what we're here for. So share the app. You can do that right from the app itself. Just click on the link there that says share the app, and you can pass it on in about 5 different ways. I'll also ask you to sign up for the newsletter. We'll be sending another one out here shortly, and I'd love for you to get it. In it, you're going to find lots of information about things like our upcoming trip to the Holy Land. You can get lots of insider information about that trip. Speaking of that, you can also get information on the Holy Land on our webpage. I recently went on there and updated the information so that you can begin that process of registration for that trip right now on our webpage at dailyradiobible.com. All you have to do is click on the Holy Land 2018 link there and begin that process even now. And last of all, if you'd like to partner with the Daily Radio Bible, that is so appreciated. This ministry does not happen without people like you coming alongside and saying, hey, I want to be a part of this. And if that's where you're at, thank you so much. And you can do that by going to dailyradiobible.com and clicking on the donate link. You can also give right from the app itself. Just click on the donate link there. Or if you're old school and you want to mail your gift in, you can mail it to Daily Radio Bible, 7216 Rolling Oaks Court, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45239. Well, hey, we have done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength, and let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All righty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care. Bye-bye.